welcome to episode 150 of Wing Sauce. It's just Connor and I. It seems to be a mix. It's either Connor and myself or Tyler and myself. We did have an episode, I think, last week with the three of us, which was nice. But yeah, Connor, how you doing, buddy? You just got back from Florida. How was that trip?
Yeah, not too bad. It's the problem, but not the problem of having a family is we're always on the go, Tyler and I. So if one of us is here, the other one's doing something and vice versa, the world speeds up a little bit with a little one. But we were in Florida. It was good. It's like 90 and sunny every day. It's a little too hot for my liking. But it was warmer this time of year than compared to other years. So I think this is still a good time to go. That like February, March, April timeframe. Somewhere in there, but yeah, it was good. Not too bad.
That's good. I posted yesterday on the Instagram to see if I could troll anybody that the Arizona Coyotes were moving to Houston. Tyler's pretty quick to nip that in the bud, but
yeah, he beat me to it. He had a nice reply of, it was better than my reply, but a nice reply of screenshotting the calendar and circling April 1st. So, yeah. But it's weird because that could happen technically.
That's a funny thing. It's like one of those ones. I was like, wait, is that real? And I'm like, it's April 1st. And no, it's not real, but that I can see happening. Like out of anything, you know, out of the crazy stuff that you see sometimes on April 1st, you're like, wait a second, that could be valid.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's a good one. I mean, it's probably for the people that weren't on top of their game. I'm sure that was a quick like jolt of, oh my gosh, is it really happening? Especially if you lived in Arizona or Houston, I'd be kind of upset, especially if I lived in Houston, I'd be like, oh yeah, this is awesome. That is not happening, at least for right now. We will see. Could happen in the future.
Who knows? I still can't believe, I can't believe I didn't know this, but I still can't believe that the Arizona Coyotes are owned by the NHL.
Yeah. That's the running joke of Bettman needs to make it work in Arizona. That's his baby.
Leads me to bring up, so the NHL just didn't pay their bills?
I think there's more to it.
But you know what I'm saying? Like that's like on a surface level, like when you look at it, it's like, so the NHL just didn't pay their bills is how it looks on a surface level.
Yeah, fell through the cracks. Somebody in accounting forgot to dot a couple I's and cross a couple T's.
Right. Not a good look for Arizona there. No. Neither is their record, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, they're not doing too bad if you look at it. The past month or so. Look at their record in the past month. I don't have it right in front of me, but let's just like quickly.
Let's take a quick gander here. Okay, they're 77 games played, 67 points, 27 wins, 37 losses. Let's see what they've done in the last little bit here.
I mean, right there is not a laughing stock. I mean, we as in Detroit know what a laughing stock in the league looks like. They're not at the bottom right now.
No, surprisingly.
Yeah, I mean, high 60s isn't. I have the under in that right now.
I mean, right now you have Columbus and Chicago sharing the bottom of the barrel at 54 points.
Yeah, so they're like well above them as far as points go.
So you know, it's like I know we're at 500 right now, and that's like one of the expectations I think a lot of us had moving into the season. I must say, I'm slightly disappointed, though, that we're not above 500. I thought that would be like the low point of the season would be 500. I expected us to be a little bit higher as far as like, you know, maybe right there with Buffalo at 0.54. But, you know, at 500, it's better than last season. So there is an improvement. I would just like to see us win the like next 4 out of 7, I think. That'd be nice, but probably unlikely.
Yeah. The only thing I'll say on that is that it's tough. I agree, but it's a little tough to say that specifically. Like your record shifts when the team shifts. And I think that a lot of the times when we're predicting things, we have no idea. There's so many variables in place. I mean, you look at injuries and things like that, with which we can preface, but one thing we have no idea on for the most part is what's going to happen at the deadline. So, I mean, if you take a team that a lot of people expected the Wings to not do anything, you know, and just stay with the exact same team. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, if that happened, our record is above 500. Now, given those pieces that we gave up, then your record is going to drop. So if you're going to reshift the thinking after the deadline, like almost start from scratch, I think they're probably basically the team that you see right now. I totally agree with you. In the beginning of the year, it's like if you look at this point right now with the team that we started in the beginning of the year, we should be over 500. And I think that would be the case if we had the same team. Mm-hmm. But with the changes that were made, I think this is probably where we're at. And
I mean, on your point though, on the injuries, like we've said it numerous times this season, but like that really has been a huge impact for the Red Wings as far as like depth goes. Like they've timelessly had to go back into their depth, see what players can come up, what can perform. Rasmussen going out, it's crazy to say this, but that was a big hurting for us. Him stepping out for, I guess, about half the season now, it's almost been.
Yeah.
Last year, we would never would have said that. This year, looking at it, it's like it's crazy to say Michael Rasmussen has been that much of an impact player this season. So good for him. Hopefully, he gets healthy in the offseason. We can see him come back and play for us because I really enjoyed watching him play this season.
Yeah. I totally agree. It's tough. And who knows what could have happened, like in what will happen in the last 10 games. There's probably going to be some shutdowns or mm-hmm. or maybe some injuries that if you're in a playoff push, people are going to play through. If not, then you know, shut it down, get rested for next year.
So, I mean, look at Boston, right? Right now, Bergeron sitting out. They have like they've had a couple like players to have like rest days, if you will. Let's not travel with the team. You know, we're pretty much there. I was watching the Boston game last night. This is driving me nuts. Let's say it was last night, because I can't remember what day of the week it is, but I was watching a hockey game at some point, with Boston and Pittsburgh, and it was interesting to hear. It was yesterday. It's Hockey Saturday. It was yesterday. How close they are to the record from the Montreal Canadiens, how close they are to regular season wins compared to, I think it was Tampa Bay and then the Red Wings. And then kind of how the team is looking at that, kind of approaching the record. It's kind of cool how the coach is kind of going to the players, hey, is this something that you guys are interested in? I know you guys are tired. You're getting ready for a playoff push. You know, how do you guys want to handle this? So I feel like it's, hasn't really been on top of their mind, but it's something that it's been on the back burner, and it's kind of cool to see like the coaching staff and the organizations kind of putting it on the players as opposed to saying, hey, you know, as an organization, we expect you to play, you know, hard and, you know, get this record or get this for us. So I don't know, it's interesting listening to the announcers yesterday talk about that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And one thing I think people have to remember too is it's not just a team that has the playoffs and then you're gonna sit them down and you'd be like, you know, worried about if they're gonna be able to get back up for some of these playoff games. If you look at Boston over the last 10, 15 years, I mean, they're in the playoffs basically every single year. And you have some of these guys that are older that have played all of those 15 years or 10 years. And they've played like an extra 5 seasons. Yep. If you look at all their playoff games. So I don't think they're going to have any issues with getting up for it. They're professionals. They're, you know, and they're the tail end of their career, if you want to call it that. A couple of them. And obviously there's some younger guys, but you can't fault them for wanting to sit out and rest up when they've played like literally hundreds of games more than some of the people that are in the league that have been in there at the same time that haven't made the playoffs.
So one thing I noticed though watching that game yesterday is I felt like Bertuzzi's almost, I don't know if he's been in Detroit so long, because Boston plays a different kind of hockey. Like everyone that's watched Boston play they play a different style than Detroit, period. Mm-hmm. But like watching them play yesterday, it almost felt like Bertuzzi was like a step behind everybody. Like, I don't know, either slower or just isn't comfortable yet with like, you know, how they run their offense. I'm not sure. Just that's one thing I picked up yesterday. Not like he played bad. It was just, you know, I would see him and then like, oh, he's kind of out of place here. Oh, he's a step behind.
I think it's probably a little bit of both. Like obviously he's a really good player. He's getting decent, you know, he's doing,
I mean, he's on the
decent
top line.
as far as point production goes. Yeah. And he's on the top line that's basically a depth move, right? For Boston. Like they don't need him on I wouldn't classify him as a top player, but he's like, they have 3 top lines. Basically Boston does like the most, they have the most depth. And
so that's one thing they brought up. So. They said if all the players were healthy, right, they'd have essentially 5 lines.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think they said they'd have 8 defensemen.
Yeah. And they're all like
the quality.
Especially as like forwards go, you know, and their D, they probably have the strongest D core as well. I think there's like a significant drop off after probably like the top 5, which is weird. Normally you do it in pairs, but but to your point though, Bertuzzi's playing on the top line with some of the best guys in the NHL. He's not the fastest guy. He's not like the most skilled guy ever. he is a guy that they can like throw it in deep and he can go beat out a defenseman for a puck. And maybe that's exactly what they want and what they need. But he's got 8 points in 15 games. So clicking in a little bit of over a point, half point per game, which isn't horrible, especially going on a new team. You'd like him to get a little bit more just falling into points at that point, just with like random second assists and things like that. But I think he'll get going. A lot of it is too, I mean, the system for Detroit, the way that they have to play to compete with these players or these teams compared to what Boston does to compete with these teams, like they can play such a different system that it's probably going to take a little bit of time for him to get up to speed, and maybe even more than the 15 games that he's already played.
I mean, so they're number one in the penalty kill. And last yesterday they showed that with a 5-on-3. I mean, it was crazy. It's crazy watching like the difference between like a high quality penalty kill team before with the lowest quality, right? Just yeah. how they move. They're moving in the zone, how they're picking up players.
Pressuring still.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Pressuring the puck. So it is nice seeing that. It's going to be I'm excited for playoffs. Like we said last week, this
best
is going to be,
year.
Yeah, it's going to be a good playoffs. We're wrapping up into it. I think there's about 10 games roughly.
Yeah, about depending on the team. I mean, there's a little. I think Wings have played 74. 75 will be tonight on Sunday. So, you know, you have another 7 games for them, and some people have 5 to anywhere from like 8 to 10 games left.
Yep. So, you know, playoffs is coming soon. I think we do have a couple set matches for the playoffs. Toronto will be taking on Tampa Bay in the first round. And I think that's the only one that's currently set. The Vegas Golden Knights did solidify their spot in the playoffs in the Pacific as the number one seed. Paul Cotter, can't wait to see you in the playoffs. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, for sure. Before we go on to, I was able to look up the Coyotes record really quickly in the last little bit of games.
Yeah.
They had a stretch in March, mid-March, where they were 6-0-1. So they went undefeated over, you know, 7 games. The only game that they lost in overtime during that stretch was against Colorado. They've even won some games after that. So if you look at the last probably 12 games, they're probably somewhere in like the, you know, it's 10, like 10-4 and whatever.
And so that's the one thing, like when I look at it, are they winning these games because some of the teams are playing less competitive hockey due to the fact that they're going to be playing playoffs, or are they actually, is Arizona just playing great hockey? Like, not trying to take away from Arizona, but it's one of those things you think about at the end of the season. Like when you see these games that are won, against, you know, stronger teams, stronger teams get beat by weaker teams. It's almost one of those things. It's like, is it because of the playoffs are coming up? Is it just one of those hockey flukes that happens all the time where, you know, it's hockey and you never know who's going to win?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a little bit of both. If you look at Keller on the Coyotes, he's putting up like a career year. I don't know if you have his points in front of you, but he's got like 80 to 90, potentially getting close to 100 points this year. Like he's a, you know, a bona fide all-star and a superstar in the league this year, but he's like the most undercover 90-point season of all time.
77 games played, 36 goals, 46 assists, 82 points.
Yeah, so I mean, like, he's putting up an unbelievable year, probably going to end closer to 90 points, and you haven't even heard about him at all this year.
No.
And but, I mean, to your point, yeah, there's probably a little bit of that, but I really don't think there's too much of that in the NHL. I think in any hockey, really, or any sport, it's so hard, especially a physical sport. You can't go into these, and especially as you get close to playoffs, and start taking your foot off the gas, like you're going to get hurt. You're going to get like, yep. It's not a great, the only people that can give you a break is management. The players are going to go out there, and depending on the lineup, everybody's going to play at 100%. Now, if you take some of your top guys out of the lineup, then yeah, there's maybe a little bit of that. But I think the only thing that potentially happens is that you're not having a superstar, like your top line center, go in and dive at a loose puck at like in the crease, or like try to make some crazy move where he leaves himself vulnerable for an open ice hit for potential injury or something like that. For as far as like the effort and all of like the actual skill level goes, I think those guys are still given 100%, and it depends on the, you know, the management. If they're in the lineup, they're going to be playing. And that's why you hear that topic of like, hey, is this team tanking or whatever? It's like, no, players play in like GM's tank and coaches tank because they can set the lineup and get guys and set the roster. And I think it's probably more so falls on the GM. The coach is going to put out the best team that they have available. Now, if the GM doesn't give them the players to actually make a good lineup, then, you know, what's the coach going to do? So if that stretch is probably a little bit on the GM, because if you're an Arizona fan, you do not want to be winning games right now.
Not as, at all, right? You kind of want to tank those games. Someone, this is driving me nuts. I can't remember who it was. Oh, Tkachuk. Matthew Tkachuk. There we go. So he had the first, let me think this straight. He had two consecutive 100-point seasons, and it was on two different teams. And I think it was the, like, one of the only other people, or like there's a list of people, but on that list was Wayne Gretzky. So it was just crazy seeing Tkachuk, you know, at that high quality. I know we're bouncing around here with players, but Tkachuk at that high of a high of a caliber player, which brings me to my point. The other day, Nicole's brother keeps on trying to tell me that he'd rather take Tkachuk over McDavid. And McDavid's never won a cup. And I was like, Tkachuk's never won a cup. And I was McDavid, Nicole's brother. And I was like, first off, McDavid, I was like, because he's trying to compare Tkachuk and Barkov with McDavid and Draisaitl. I'm like, first off, McDavid almost has as much points as Tkachuk and Barkov combined. Secondly, I was like, McDavid is like, I'd rather take McDavid. He's like, well, he's at 12 and a half million. I'm like, what do you think you're going to have to pay Tkachuk when his contract comes up? The dude's scoring 100 points. He's going to get paid. He's going to have a big contract coming.
And yeah.
Tkachuk's at 10 mil right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that the 2 million or whatever, even right now, it doesn't deserve to be in the conversation. Like, you know me, I'm all about the contracts, and you talk about player comparisons. Like, if you want to talk about Tkachuk and somebody that's making like 6 million or 15 million one way or the other, like, that's a big gap. And then you take that into account and you're taking some of the best players in the entire world, and you're talking about 10 and a half versus like 12 and a half. It's not like you're going to have to pay your top guys, especially top in the league. McDavid could like he's the only one that's ever had that conversation. I'll put it that way. There's nobody else in the hockey world that's ever had a Tkachuk versus McDavid conversation. It's so,
I mean, he's a big Panthers fan, to say the least, but I was just kind of laughing. I'm like, dude, no. Any GM would take McDavid over Tkachuk, and nothing against Tkachuk at all in the slightest. But no. That's like saying, and then so the, and that brings me to my other point. Someone is saying Connor Bedard versus Connor McDavid, right? Talking about the differences. Connor Bedard just killing it right now in the WHL. And one of the things that they brought up was, you know, Connor Bedard just had tore it up at World Juniors. Essentially tore it up at World Juniors, tearing it up right now in the current league he's in. And the comparison they made is with Wayne Gretzky. That's the only other player that's been like that high of a caliber, like tearing it up at World Juniors at 17 as being younger. Same thing in the current league when I think Wayne Gretzky played for the Spirit, if I'm not mistaken.
He played for the Greyhounds.
Greyhounds, thank you.
Yeah.
Same thing there, right? He just tore it up. So they're actually saying Connor Bedard is a better player than Connor McDavid. And this is all speculation. No one knows. But if that's the case, can you imagine seeing a player of that caliber coming into the league and just day one just being like, holy shit?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see Connor Bedard having the same immediate like crazy points in the NHL. I could be wrong. McDavid's skating style allowed him a little bit more to just like flat out skate by people with his hands and everything. I don't know. I mean, I probably have just been watching McDavid too much, and I just haven't seen enough other than like crazy highlights of Bedard. But I mean, I think we have to put in perspective, like, Connor McDavid is potentially the best player in the history of hockey. I mean, he's on that path of like, versus like Lemieux and, you know,
just to put it in perspective, everybody, his first season, 2015, he had 45 games played. He had 48 points. He has never had less than a point per game season.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's why I just don't. I shouldn't say I don't see it, but I think it's not. I don't think that we should be having expectations that are that crazy high for Bedard. I would have said the same thing with McDavid coming in. You know, I don't think it's a bad thing if you look at some guy that's, you know, 17, 18 years old. He's obviously drafted 1-1 and comes in and he puts up like 70 points in an 82-game season, or, you know, he's clicking at like a just under a point per game pace. Like, you know, and maybe he comes in and he just blows it out of the water. That's what I would love for him to do just for his own sake. But I mean, I just don't want to put the expectations on him that he's going to be doing that, especially after watching him. I don't know exactly what it is about him that he does so well. Like with McDavid, I feel like I know if I watch him, like why he's so good.
His hands are skating.
Yeah. I mean, his hands are skating, and like just those two combined are just absolutely incredible, the way he sees the ice. And I think Bedard probably has like that same vision. It's similar to Crosby a little bit with Bedard. Like I see those two as a comparison more than McDavid. Mm-hmm. Where you watch Crosby and you're like, he does some crazy things with the puck, and this is back in his early days of his career. But it's not like he's doing anything that is completely like he'd have the highlight reel goals. Don't get me wrong. And a lot of them were, he'd have like, you know, 20 of them every season, but didn't it feel weird where it's like, I don't know why he's so like, I can't pinpoint one specific thing on him that is just like, oh, well, clearly he's just like the fastest player to ever play. He was just so strong. So I think like his puck protection, I think everybody talks about Crosby with him being the best puck protector in the entire world and the history of hockey. Like you couldn't get it away from him. And like, that's not an easy thing to see as a fan when you're watching hockey, like, oh wow, he's so good off the half wall and on the boards. It's like, that's not like exciting.
So right now Bedard's averaging 2.5 points a game.
Yeah, I mean, they're both putting up it's insane numbers. So it's not even worth talking about.
The crazy thing is he has 62 penalty minutes.
Wait, why is that crazy?
I don't know. I just wasn't like when you think of most goal scorers, right? Like if you look, all right, for the sake of argument, like now Connor McDavid has 36 penalty minutes. Like that's
WHL.
Okay, touche.
If you're under 100 pims in the dub, you're basically like a finesse, you know, guy.
You got me there. Touche.
Sonon.
You got me. All right.
The same thing. No, it's a good point when you compare the two. I think just people that maybe aren't as familiar with the WHL, it's obviously a rough and tumble league. But the other thing too that we have to remember is in that league, he's not going out there like once every four shifts. He's getting like probably 30 minutes ice time. Like you're just going to fall into more situations to take a penalty when you're out there for half the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, damn, that's crazy. Looking at his point totals versus everybody else's. That's insane. What else you got? What else you got, Connor? We talked enough about Connors.
Yeah, some great names there. I mean, the Wings are playing the Leafs tonight. It would be real. The one thing I'm watching right now is making sure that, like, I haven't seen Larkin ever take his foot off the gas, really. I'd be curious to see what they do. If he has any type of bad hit or any type of, like, slight injury, I'm sure he's going to be gone for the season just to shut him down and rest him for next year.
Larkin.
Larkin.
Which is similar to what we experienced last year, right? I think he missed the last 10 games, 12 games. Like I can't remember.
Gets tweaked up a little bit. I would like to see him get two more points. I think he's two, like, one more point. He's matched his career high in points. And then if he gets a point after that, then he's obviously got the most points he's ever had in his career, which would be a career year, especially looking at his points per game right now. He's one off of a point per game. So he's basically right there. So depending on how he does and how many games he plays, then we'll see.
And so, Connor, do you think he knows that?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I know for a fact he does, whether it impacts how he plays or how long he wants to do.
That was my follow-up question. Is that something that's weighing on his mind? Like, oh shit, you know, I need to step it up, or, you know,
no.
this is something I want to accomplish. Let me go ahead and do 110%. Or is it just kind of something that's in the back of his mind? Like, hell yeah, if I make it, sweet. If not, whatever.
No, I mean, I don't think it's like as far as like getting the most points he's ever had in a season is something that he's like needs to accomplish. Cause that's not like a goal you set, you know, is like have this year be the most points I ever get. But I do think that maybe in his goals when he's like coming into the league, it's like, oh, it'd be great to average a point per game in the NHL. I mean, there's probably a lot of players that are thinking that way. And for him to finish the season with a chance to do that on a team that is struggling, you know, 500 team, that's like incredible to do. So,
and so I think it was last week, Tyler and I talked about, like, he finally made a good point. So Larkin right now, if you look at him, right, he's not surrounded by talent on the wings. Like, I'm not trying to take away from our wingers, but they're not that good. So it's like, he brought up, like, if you put like a DeBrincat with Larkin, right, imagine how many more points Larkin would probably amass just because he has that higher caliber goal scorer, you know, on his wing. And I was like, all right, that makes a good point, Tyler, because when you look at it that way, it's a little bit different as opposed to saying right now, you know, he's not producing as a 1C. Well, no shit. He doesn't have anybody around him.
Yeah. So, like, you, what is the
1C? Like, what's the definition of that?
Because, like, people are never going to, even if he, like, once getting a point per game in the NHL,
it's huge.
It means you're, if as a center, someone that's playing penalty kill and power play and it has a really strong defensive zone and neutral zone play, like, that's a 1C. I don't care. I mean, maybe not, like, you can't compare him to McKinnon and McDavid and, like, Crosby and all those guys. Like, those are some of the game's best players in the last 30 years.
Like, those are superstars.
Yeah. And I don't think anybody's ever been like, is he a superstar?
So that's the problem, though. That's the problem, though, Connor. I feel like a lot of people in Detroit, being that he's the captain, they assume because you're a captain, you're a superstar. Like, that's what, those two go hand in hand, right? You can't have, the captain's a superstar, so he's got to be amassing the highest amount of points just like every other, you know, superstar in the league. And it's like, well, that's not really the case.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I mean, if you look at his wingers right now, it's like Raymond's having a down year, and he's kind of got to figure it out a little bit. I don't think it's a bad year by any means, but we've talked about that at the end of last year. It's like, it'll be really difficult to follow that up, especially as people learn how to play against him two full seasons right in a row. That's hard on your body, and all these things, like, with a team that's not a playoff team by any means. And part of that is because players like Raymond haven't produced the same way.
Consistent players you have, essentially, you know, Kubalik, but I mean, honestly, I feel like he's producing at a higher rate than we expected. So that's a win. But Perron,
still consistent. Yeah, Perron is putting up an amazing year. That's for like what we want from.
Yeah, but that's what I was telling Tyler. It's like, we only have two players that we can count on: Larkin and Perron. Larkin's gonna get a point, and then Perron's most likely gonna be getting a point, or he's gonna be damn near close to getting one because he's gotten pucks on net. He's down there, you know, in front of the net with the battles. So we just need more players around there, around Larkin, like that, that we can, you know, we have 2, 3, 4, 5 players, kind of like Boston in that sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, Larkin, he's really good at distributing. He's probably better than what people realize. Like, he's a really good passer and can see the ice really well. That's why they have him in that bumper spot on the power play. Like, he controls that really well right in the middle there. And a lot of the times he does shoot, but a lot of the times he dishes it back. So when you think about putting a guy, and we talked about the DeBrincat conversation of like what's going to happen with him, but, you know, take a guy like him, don't look at him specifically. If you put a scorer with him, his assist that he already has, what, like 45 assists?
Something like that.
So if you put 45 assists on a team that, like, he's leading the team, not by like a little bit, by over 20 points. He has more than the next person, and as far as overall points go, if you put somebody that's like going to similarly match him, like 65, 70 points, that means that's a lot of extra points that Larkin would get on just assists alone. Even if you put Raymond in that, if he had the same year as last year, Larkin would have probably fallen into another 5 to 10 assists.
I mean, what's our goal differential this year? Because I'd be curious, to your point, right? There's a couple games, if you had an extra point, we'd have won it. You know what I mean? It'd have been a win. So we'd have been, instead of 500, we'd have been at like 600. I can't believe we haven't talked about this. So last week, the Red Wings played, we had Pittsburgh, Carolina, Winnipeg, and then Toronto tonight. Both Pittsburgh and Carolina were both games I was actually surprised that we won. Pittsburgh being on a wild card team trying to make it to the playoffs, that was a must need win game for them, especially coming in and losing against Boston yesterday. So that kind of just puts them back, puts Florida back in that wild card position. Carolina also great win, 3-2. I think that was an overtime win, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that was in regular season.
Was that regular?
Regulation. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. And then the Winnipeg game, I must say I didn't watch that game, but I'm surprised that it was such a big deficit between the two. Winnipeg's one of those sleeper teams, though. It's kind of like you don't really hear much about them, but they're not bad. It's not bad hockey. So I guess it's not surprising they lost, but it's, you know, after coming off two decent wins, you know, I would expect them to kind of roll that in.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you have a game on Tuesday, you have a game Thursday and Friday. So you have three games in 4 days. And then you're going to Winnipeg and playing them at Winnipeg. That's not an easy travel day, especially after you just finished a game off against, you're at home still, but like a really good team in Kenton, Carolina. I think that's just a little bit of a like rest that needed to be had. Like, they're not good enough to have a couple guys rest or really to go back-to-back-to-back and do all that, especially against a team that, like Winnipeg, who actually is doing really well. But yeah, it was surprising to see them lay an egg like that, but I think part of that's just, they need some rest.
So the crazy thing to think about is there's only 7 more games left. We have a full week this week, essentially, of games, and then next week we end on the 13th against Tampa Bay. If I'm not mistaken, that's who we started this season with.
Yeah, I think so. Cause they, is that, was that this year or last year that they were up?
They started the season with Montreal. That was last year.
Oh, Montreal. That's right.
That was last year. But yeah, so, a difficult schedule going on the out, to be honest. You have, Pittsburgh again.
Buffalo game.
Are you?
Yep.
Oh, nice. Well, cool. So we'll have a little bit of a good insight going into Easter Sunday. So we're probably not going to record next Sunday, everybody's it being Easter Sunday. We may move it to the 8th, we may move it to the 10th. We haven't decided yet. Just throwing that out there, just in case everyone's wondering where we are. We're going to be celebrating Easter with our families. What else, Connor? You got anything?
No, I was just kind of looking at the rest of the games. I mean, we got, Toronto, Montreal, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Dallas, Hurricanes, and Lightning. That's a really tough schedule. The one thing we have going for us is that you win that season with three games or three teams that are already in the playoffs. So we'll see what happens with the rest situation there, and with those teams, and to see who's actually in the lineup. And when, I don't know if all those teams have actually clinched. I'm just assuming that.
So currently, the only teams that have clinched, to my recollection, are the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, and Tampa and Boston. I guess I was more so thinking like, there may be teams that haven't technically, like, officially got the clinch X on their
according to ESPN, which is 99 times wrong because they're stupid. Boston Bruins, Toronto, Tampa, Carolina, New Jersey, Rangers in the Eastern. In the West, currently, we have just Vegas and Edmonton.
So go through the East really quick one more time.
Yep. We have Boston, Toronto, mm-hmm. Tampa. Mm-hmm. Carolina, New Jersey, New York. Those are the six that have clinched so far. And then in the West, Vegas and Edmonton.
Yeah. So you end the team.
Hey, the good news is this is the one thing I must say. We're at the end of the season and we're not eliminated already.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's the one takeaway I'm going to say that's good, is that we're finally not halfway through the season already eliminated from the playoffs.
Yeah, and we're getting guys getting pulled up and watching new guys play in the NHL and the farm system and all that
How
stuff.
Can we forget this? Marco Kasper, is that his name?
Yeah.
Okay, he was recalled from the SHL recently. I guess he was, recalled the correct word? I don't know. Taken from the SHL team that he was loaned to, I guess would be the word. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But he was recalled. So I'm not sure if he's coming over here to play some games. I'm not sure if he's coming over here to play with the AHL. I'm not sure if they're just saying, all right, you're done with the season, so come over here. Time will tell, but there's 7 games left. Like I said, I don't foresee him playing, but I could be wrong. You know, with how we're looking as far as depth, it wouldn't be out of the question to see that happen, but I guess time will tell.
So he's practicing with the team. I can't believe we didn't bring that up. So he's practicing with the team. He's like skating with them. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen anything as far as like is he going to be getting in? He signed a contract with him. He's with the team, skating with them. He can play as early as tonight. I haven't seen any of the roster announcements for today yet. Let me see if anybody's put anything out there. Sometimes
yeah, I would have been remiss if I didn't say that. I was like, shit, I knew there's one thing I wanted to say before we jumped off.
Yeah. I feel like he's going to play this year.
And that's where I'm at, Connor. I feel like they're going to at least give him one or two games. Technically can play all the rest of the season and not burn his ELC, correct?
Yeah, what is it? Is it like 10 games or something like that?
I think it's 10. So I wouldn't be surprised if they let him play the rest of the season.
And maybe that he's a guy that maybe not, you know, obviously not this year. He didn't play the whole year, and I wouldn't expect him to really put up much of like a fight as far as getting crazy amount of points or anything like that. But maybe in next year, if he's there, which I think he will be on the team next year, he's that guy that slides in that DeBrincat spot that we just talked about. Of like, he can score. Mm-hmm. Maybe is he a first line guy? It seems like everywhere he's been playing unbelievable. He's got a couple awards this year. Youngest player ever to earn the Australian Player of the Year, and you know, all these different things that I don't know why I said Australian. Austrian Player of the Year. Maybe he's a guy. Australian.
Yeah.
Well, he probably would be the Australian Player of the Year too. So
guaranteed.
Stand by that. Australia's got some good leagues. Some guys that played over there. I think they have one good league. There's some guys in the NHL that played over there. I forget who. I think Rasmussen even went over there. Somebody on the Red Wings did. Went over there during COVID. And then I think during the lockout, even before that, people went over to Australia. Yeah.
I did not know that. Little known tidbit from Connor this morning.
Yep. I probably got Rasmussen wrong. I forget where he... But it's okay. Who knows? Maybe I was right.
Anything else, Connor, before we kick it off?
No.
All right, let's get the puck out of here.